I don't know. It's our responsibility, amen. What we hear doesn't matter if it's me or whoever. The Bible says we should be like those of Berea. They search the scriptures daily, see whether those things are true or not. We can't just accept what people are giving us. And I don't want to use people's names, but this one preacher said he's so tired of all these charismatic preachers getting up in the pulpit, chewing and chopping God's word up. And because they're charismatic and popular, everybody thinks what they say is true. Amen. So it's our responsibility. We're going to have to give an account, the Bible says, for every idle word and thought. We got to give an account for stuff, so we should make it our responsibility. Don't tell somebody what he said, but we should study God's word for ourselves. Say, we say amen. So we're going to read verses 24 through 34, and I won't speak to it. Hopefully, if we don't finish next week, since you have the notes, whoever's here, since I won't be here next Wednesday, if the Lord permits us to go to Georgia, someone can finish, amen? So the 24th verse reads from this 25th chapter of Genesis. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And God had already told her when she inquired, what was the struggle, that she had, what, two nations within her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 84 years old when she bare him. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. And Jacob was a clean man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob saw pottage. Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word in the church said. Amen. So Esau despised his birthright. Yeah, it's not comical, but it's almost amusing that when you go to Genesis the 27th chapter, that Esau knows he has sold his birthright, but then he gets upset because his brother got the blessing. Well, the blessing went with the birthright. Amen. So let's just go through the study and see what God thinks about Esau. Amen. Not what we think, not what has been popularized as Jacob being a deceiver, a planner, and that Rebekah was a very dishonest and conniving mother. Amen. Let's just see what God says. Amen. Then let's go to our notes. I tried to make them simpler this week because we really can go real deep, but if we go too deep, we might lose some people, so we're going to stay shallow tonight. All right? Amen. So Genesis 25:24 says, and when our days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. All right, so behold, there were twins in her womb. God did just as he told Rebekah, and she delivered twins. Esau and Jacob were born around 2005 B.C. Now, Genesis 25:5. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. All right, Esau. Now, Esau means hairy, right? So it's important, as we're studying scripture, every scripture defines what's being said in it, not people's popular opinion, as we said last week, amen? And I want to get ahead of myself, so let's keep going. This could be the linguistic basis for calling Esau's country Edom, which meant red. We will discuss this in the 31st. Esau was Jacob's twin brother and the father of the Edomites. Though he was the the direction is first because of how he lost his birthright. The later animosity between the descendants of Esau, who are the Edomites, and the descendants of Jacob, which are the Israelites, will be well documented in the Old Testament. Now, remember a few weeks ago I asked you, I said, it's kind of amazing why he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and then it stops. It just cuts off, right? So you were saying, well, why didn't he continue to be the Gaza? Well, I had to figure it out myself, because I asked the question, so he could not answer it, all right? So remember, he was the God of Abraham, because it couldn't be Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It couldn't be Abraham and the sons of Abraham, because the sons of Abraham would have included the sons of Keturah and the sons of Hagar. All right. So that's why he's the God of Abraham and not the God of Abraham and the sons of Abraham. And because he's the God, the reason he's the God of Isaac and not the God of Isaac and the sons of Isaac is because then it would include Esau. Well, he's the God of Jacob, and the reason that it had to stop there because not only was it the God of Jacob, but the sons of Jacob got the blessings. So that's why I cut off there, because the 12 tribes also got the blessing. Amen. That's why. Because I wanted to know. All right. That's why it stopped there, because up until Jacob, it was just the one son. After Jacob, it was his all the sons, because they became the 12 tribes and they became the Israelites. Amen? So that's why I stopped there. Okay? Now, the later animosity between the Edomites and the Israelites is well documented. Numbers 20, verse 18 through 21 says, "And Edom said unto him," speaking of Israel, "Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword." This is when God calls Israel out of Egypt, and he wanted to pass through the coast of Edom. Edom said, "You cannot come through here." So that animosity. Remember, it says that the struggle between that Rebekah had in her womb will be a continuous battle until death, until the end. So the battle started in the womb, and it has never ended. Amen. It says, "And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy waters, then I will pay for it. Without doing anything else, go through on my feet." And he said, "Thou shalt not go through." It just been mean, right? That's evil. You can't go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And we'll find out a little later what God thinks about Edom. Amen. Also, if we read Obadiah verses 1 through 21, it tells us about the battle between the Edomites, the sons of Esau, and also the sons of Jacob, all right, the Israelites. Israel is later used in scripture as an illustration of Esau is later used in scripture as an illustration of the what? Non-elect of God. And let's go to Malachi 1:1-5, all right? So a lot of, many people are saying that Jacob was a deceiver in some manner and that Rebekah was mischievous and conniving. But that's not what the scriptures support. That's what they teach. But what do the scriptures support? Amen? Malachi 1:1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet he said, Wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob and I..." Who said this? Jacob ain't got nothing to do with this. This is what the Lord is saying. Amen. "I hid Esau lay his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragon of the wilderness." His heritage is everything that came after Esau. "Whereas Edom said, We are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus said the Lord So God doesn't have a fancy, a liking for Edom, or the Edomites. He said they will build our what? Throw down. And they shall call them the borders of whose sin is? The Lord. Alright, so don't get caught up in all of this hype that they like to, you know, people like to put their own personal opinion on it. He says, wickedness and the people against whom the Lord has for a short time. Right? He said, yeah, they should what? Forever. Amen. Who are these? We're talking about the Edomites. He says, and your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the borders of. So he's telling you, I have chosen Jacob, but I have rejected Esau forever. Can we say hallelujah? Now if we compare Romans 9, 10 through 13, just to show you that we can't get caught up in the hype of that Jacob was sneaky and conniving and mischievous, he did this. God chose him. Remember last week, or the week before last, anyway, when he said, because there are two nations in your womb, and the older shall serve the younger. Right? That's what the fight. So the fight started in the womb. And it's so important as we go a little further, we'll go over there. Amen. Does everybody understand that? Alright, so we keep it surface. So Romans 9, verses 10 through 13 says, and not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not the words but of him that. So God said, I chose them, and neither one had done good or evil. I'm just reading, I'm not sure which one it is. One of them is ringing. All right, so God made the children were not yet born, but God had made a decision. All right, he said, neither had done good or evil, but over the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of words, but of him that, and one of those instruments, it has to be one of the, can you go back in the back? It has to be like the keyboard or something. You got to mute something, because I can't, there you go, thank you. Again. Thinking buzz too. I'm buzzing along. Amen. Good. Thank you. Alright. So now he said he chose him and they had done neither good nor evil. But God had an election. Do we understand that? Amen. He had an election. And it was said of her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The New Testament refers to him, speaking of Esau, as a profane person. Amen. A profane person. Hebrews 12, 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man, that's what Pastor Harper said, you still got to be holy. Bishop always tells us when he calls and says, remember again, what do we do? Holiness is still right. So you got to be holy. Amen. Verse 15 says, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any who are building and springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or what? A frame person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. Though he saw him carefully with tears. Alright, so God rejected him. And he refers to Esau as a fornicator and a profane person. Now, this is probably spiritual fornication. Alright? Spiritual fornication, James calls it ye adulterers and adulteresses. Not in the sense of physically, but spiritually. Because he said, and what James defines it as, he says, friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Well, that was the adultery. Amen. This is what made Esau a fornicator. He dishonored his family. for a morsel of bread. Don't sell your rights to God. Amen. The Bible says, buy the truth and do what? Sell it not. Amen. That is a challenge today in this time that we're living in. All right, so let us go to Genesis 25:26. After that came his brother out, and his hand to hold on Esau's heel. Now notice, it doesn't say after Esau, the second one came out. Right? He doesn't define it as being the second one. He said, after that, they came his brother out. But his brother should have been the second one. Right? So pay attention to the scripture. He doesn't define him as the second. He just says his brother came out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called. Well, it says his name was called Jacob because what? His hand took hold of his heel. Right? So does that seem like it's a planner or a deceiver? So where does that come from? Right? Where does it come from that he's just a planner and a deceiver? Right? One guy said because preachers have made it popular, everybody just accepted it. But it just tells you why his name is called Esau, because he had his heel. It gets even better than that. Let's keep going, all right? I want to take a moment to explain a misinterpretation that Jacob's name means deceiver or supplanter, which mainstream Christianity has freely accepted without doing a proper word study of the meaning of Jacob for themselves. The scripture says that Jacob had to hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. The Hebrew word for heel is akev, which is from the same root for which Jacob means. Jacob is his name. Jacob is in the Hebrew akev, which actually means heel catcher. Amen. This is what it said. Even if you look in the concordance, it is put down heel catcher, but in parentheses, it is put down supplanter. Right? That's what they had, was a supplanter. But the name akev means, or Jacob means, heel catcher. I know that we have been taught that Jacob means deceiver or supplanter, which has an ungodly or evil overtone, and is actually the exact opposite of what we just read in Malachi. Because who's the deceiver? Esau. Who's the wicked one? Who's the profane one? So how did Jacob get that label? Because someone used their intellect, went to the Bible and said what Jacob did was deception when he stole the birthright. He didn't steal the birthright. He sold it. Right? If you sell something, then steal it. So Esau freely gave it away. So it's so important as we're studying scripture, don't allow the prejudices of other people to influence what the scripture says. God's word defines itself. Amen. So we have to study for ourselves. Can we say, praise the Lord? The name Jacob is a play on the Hebrew word akev, meaning heel. Jacob, for obvious reasons, is also understood figuratively to mean follower, overcomer, but literally means may he be at the heels. That is, one who closely followed, and figuratively, may God be his rear guard. That's what Jacob means when you get into the actual Hebrew. And like I told you all before, it's good to get an interlinear Bible to study, because even when a lot of these scriptures, I just put them in, when you read it in Hebrew, it doesn't say what it says in English. Right? Because Hebrew has different words that have different meanings. Well, what we do, we just take one word to mean everything. Alright, for instance, we say when the Hebrew, they use different words, they have different words for trust. There's 7 different words for trust in Hebrew. We just put it trust. Alright, so each one of those different words for trust has a different meaning. So because the translators want to use their denominational prejudices, they just put trust. You understand what I'm saying? So it's so important that you have an interlinear Bible so you can compare what trust, which trust. Amen? Which, it has different words for love. Which love is it? So we just throw one word out and we lose the meaning of the scripture because we're not doing a word study. Amen? So get an interlinear Bible was Greek, Hebrew, and English, and then study for yourself. Amen? I know that we've been told that Jacob, no, I'm past that, though. I'm past that too, amen. What the name Jacob does not mean, however, is deceiver. A meaning often given to the name by overzealous Christian pastors intent on defining Jacob by the events surrounding his acquiring of the blessing of the firstborn, something that was by that time rightfully belonged to him. And, you know, I read this and I've always battled for the longest. I was like, well, if God told Rebecca that the older was going to serve the younger, that's kind of evident, right? That's a prophecy. That's prophetic. That's pretty simple. The older couldn't serve the younger. Jacob could be a part of the blessing. Something had to transpire. Some transfer had to take place. God told her that when she went to the front choir, while there was a struggle in the womb. So how do we get these all these other misconceptions? Right? Because people have put their personal interpretation on scriptures. Amen? That's not confusing, right? Does everybody understand that? Amen. Do we need this? As I said, do we need to park here for a while or can we keep going? If you don't understand, it's best to ask questions. Don't be sneaky and ask me afterwards. Afterwards, my advice answers and goes. Oh, yeah. Amen. All right, so let's just keep going. We must do a proper word study of the meaning of a person's name and be careful not to fall into the same lazy habit of accepting what has been made popular by someone who didn't what? Rightly divide the word of God. And the Bible says, I love what Paul tells Timothy because he says, study to show yourself approved unto the saints. Show yourself approved unto what? God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divided. Well, what do you mean a workman? You mean I got to labor in the scripture? Yes. Because if you just surface and read it, you're not working. And then if you don't work the scripture and study the scripture, if you don't delve into what it really means, you cannot rightly divide the word of truth. Right? So you can't just skip through 20 verses and think you got a message from God because you will miss it. And then if you go to the commentaries, now, one of the things about commentary, every one of your commentaries all pretty much say the same thing, they just put a different spin on it. All right? For instance, the Date Bible, I know someone that loves the Date Bible. I couldn't do the Date Bible. At one time, then I noticed Date was saying what everyone else was saying, but Date Bible, what Date? Y'all did the Date Bible, D-A-K-N? The Date Bible, what happened was, this guy was supposed to be a preacher. What he was doing, he was traveling across the country with a 14-year-old girl as his mistress. Like, babe, this is what he did. So he traveled around the country with a 14-year-old girl as his mistress, selling her off as his wife. Finally, they called up to him and put him in prison. When he went to prison, he got a revelation and wrote the Bible. My Bible, I just got rid of it. Honestly, I say, I'm not going to have nobody's Bible, right? Their last resort when they got in prison because they had nothing else to do, they decided to write a Bible and give them a commentary. And if you read this commentary, all the commentaries that you read all go back to Charles Spurgeon. Just read them and compare. Like, so don't be influenced by commentaries. It's important that we study for ourselves. Amen? But you don't want to be still? All right. So, yes. Oh, somebody got a question? Okay, no. This is Bible study, so please.
I understand everything that you're saying and bringing up.
Right.
I see it in the scripture. But I can't sit here and act like I'm totally comfortable with the method in which Jacob acquired the birthright. I've always had problem with that because Esau was an ear and Esau was near death when he acquired the birthright.
I don't think so.
Anyway,
I think that's why he was saying we're starting with that.
Try this. Okay, so logically speaking, reasonably speaking, that would seem like what he's doing, but it was the election of God. God had rejected Esau before he was even born.
The way that I see it is, the reason why is because God already knows down the line of time. Because it definitely does seem.
So remember when Rebecca plays she praises God in the 22nd verse of this chapter. She says, God, why am I happy? She goes in part. I mean, she's earnestly, firmly praying. Why am I having this struggle in my womb? She didn't think there was twins. She don't know she had a child. Right? So she goes to God, and God tells her, he says, the reason you have a struggle is because there's a battle in your womb, and the battle is unto death from the womb to the end. All right?
I understand.
You make me get ahead of myself. So when it says that when Jacob came out, right, they were battling in the womb. The reason that Jacob was holding on to the hill, because Jacob knew he was going to have the birth ring. So he was holding on to the hill trying to keep Esau from coming out before him. But God had a way.
All right, and I accept his way. It's just, I cannot sit here and act like it just doesn't seem.
Because that's according to the intellect. But if we go according to the intellect, yes. Okay, if we go according to the intellect, yes. But if we go according to the election, yeah. Right? The election is God's choice.
Let me say this last thing. It just seems that as it was already ordained by God that the birthright was going to belong to Jacob, that yes, by me being natural men, it just seems like it would have happened anyways. It seemed like the way you did it was.
Okay, but we're going to get ahead of ourselves. But if you follow the sequence, Abraham had a son. He had Ishmael and he had Isaac. Ishmael was the firstborn, so it seemed like he should have been rightfully the heir. But God had an election, or plan, or promise. So he said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my good pleasure. So his counsel is going to stand. So in that case, the younger ruled over the old. Then after Isaac, he has Ishmael. I mean, Isaac has Jacob and Esau. Once again, the young rules over the older. Later on, in the 48th chapter of Genesis, when Jacob blesses the sons of Joseph, remember, Joseph brings his son. He brings his older son to the right hand because the son of the right hand gets a blessing. And he puts his younger son to the left hand. When Jacob got married to bless him, he crossed his hands. Right? And Joseph was upset. He said, no, my father, this is the younger and this is the older. He said, I know, but the younger is going to be greater. So God has a plan. We can't understand it, but that's just the way he does it. You know? Yes? Let's just get it.
So my question is, was Esau really at the point of death, or was he just foolishly, like we walk in and say, I'm starving to death, and make a foolish decision and say, I'll trade you a meal for $50?
Well, when you do the word study, he was at the point of death.
Okay.
Y'all get way ahead of what we're supposed to be, but yes, he was at the point of death.
Okay.
All right, you guys follow us?
Winning coming out second, you know, because the PR was already spoken and the only one served.
already spoken.
Right.
I think what a lot of people, maybe you might want to wait because that's going to kill the ears. Just bring my eyes down because they're going to kill with that speech. The thing is this, when God speaks to Rebecca and the children in the womb, right? God speaks to Rebecca, he doesn't tell Isaac. So Rebecca knows that the youngest is going to serve the older, all right, from the womb, because she couldn't figure out, so when she goes, the Lord tells her that the older is going to serve the younger. Right, so God had already sent the election. He had already made his charge. Before it said we read Romans, and neither child had done good or evil. But God had already had an election. He already had a charge. So all we get ahead of it, we won't get there, but it says when we get it down a little further, it says that that Esau was a man of the field and the hunter, right? And that Jacob dwelt in tents. Right. And so that when Jacob dwells in tent, it doesn't mean, if you read it surface, it means he just lived in a tent. But when you compare the word study, it meant he was like the children of Israel. I think the word is Ohab. They were in a tent. He was like in a tent of meeting. Whereas he spent his time inquiring in the presence of God to find out what was his purpose. So it's not just that he just stole the birthright. He spent time with God to find out what. Then the opportunity presented itself, he took advantage of the opportunity. Amen. Sister Lawless, is it y'all got a two-part question or a one-part question? What's it say? Okay. All right, so let's keep going. All right. So, once again, we can make the same mistake that the translators made, right? Approaching God's word through intellect. To our own reasoning, because if we do it to our own reasoning, it's just unfair of God to put Esau in that position because he had done nothing wrong. But God had a plan. We can't always understand the plan of God. And that's how everyone got to the opinion that Jacob was a deceiver because of what he did. But Jacob, as we find out later, let's get there before we get down for it. Jacob spent time with God. So God was already putting Jacob in position for the blessing. Now I don't want to go there. Let's just go there. Let me go down a little further. The next section, let's go to the part about name, just to show you that the name, whenever there was a name given, it was always within the context of the scripture. Alright? For instance, Isaac means what? He lives. Right? So in Genesis 17, Abraham left. In Genesis 18, Sarah left. So God gave the child laughter. All right, that's Genesis 17 and 18. All right, let's go to Genesis 20. Let's go to Genesis 29 chapter. You see the part says, Jacob named his 12 sons in the context of the verse where Esau gives the meaning of their names. All right. For instance, Reuben's name means behold a son, and Genesis 29:32, Leah conceived and bare a son and called his name Reuben. Alright. Leah named her second son Simeon, which means heard or to hear. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, because the Lord had heard, she called his name Simeon. Genesis 29:34 says, and she conceived and bare a son and said, now, this time, my husband will be joined to me. So Levi means attached or joined, just for examples, okay? So you can read that, read those examples. But I just want to get down to to the next verse. Hold on, let's see. Alright, so let's go to, so you can read all that in between yourselves. Let's go to Genesis 25:27, okay? Because this is more than just a line or a simple illustration. This tells a story between the difference between the boys, okay? So the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man. contract by Hebrew hunting. The Hebrew for hunting is Yada, which denotes intimate knowledge, meaning that Esau was devoted to the practice. He seems to have been a practical man's man. It suggests that Esau is a type of the world, we will qualify that in a few minutes, of the world, as he viewed things from a what? Practical and intellectual viewpoint instead of a spiritual one, as we would see in Jacob. And I think in Colossians 2:8 says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world, right? And not after Christ. So you have to be careful when you approach God's word through philosophy and vain deceit, because it will mislead you. All right, you can't do that. And Paul tells Timothy to beware, be careful of the opposition of science, because it also takes you away from the truth. So when you look at God's word based on an intellectual viewpoint, you will come to your own personal assessment of what should and shouldn't be. But if we may say God speak, we can't understand. Why would God have to take a harlot and put her in Jesus' lineage? Right, why would God take that who was an adulterer and put it in the lineage? Why would God take Ruth, which was a Moabite, and God said a Moabite should have ended to the generation of Israel to the 10th generation? Why would God take that which is despised and rejected in the Messiah? Comes to them. Because God's ways are half right now. Amen. Some things we don't understand, we just have to trust. And the song says, you understand it better?
I buy.
All right. Okay, so this verse tells us that Jacob was completely the opposite. This confirms what the Lord had already told Rebecca earlier. The text itself tells us all we need to know concerning the two young men. Oh, I did that. Let's go to the next page, all right? All right, just to let you know about the field, after it says, spiritual one as well as we see in Jacob. After that, the next one will be, what it says, Matthew 13, 37 and 8, remember? Okay, so remember that Esau was a man of the field, right? All right, so now when you do a cross study of what does the field mean? This is when Jesus gives the parable of the wheat and the tares. He answers and says to them, he that sowed the good seed is who? The Son of Man. The field is the world. So Esau was acquainted with a worldly perspective. Jacob had a spiritual perspective. That's why he dwelt in tents. Jacob, on the other hand, was a what kind of man? Plain man, dwelling in tents. Plain man is a Hebrew word, tam, which means he was what? Perfect and complete. Does that sound like a deceiver? Right, so he was perfect and complete. Amen? He was blameless. He had moral innocence. This set Jacob apart, for there is no reference made of Esau's moral character, either positive or negative. This also flies in the face of the accusation of so many Christian scholars who claim that Jacob was a deceiver at heart. The Hebrew text firmly states otherwise. It tells us that Jacob was blameless in the eyes of the Lord. Tam can also mean foolish. Amen. And this is where we get mixed up at, because the Hebrew words have separate meanings, don't just mean one thing. So at one time, Tam means perfect and complete, but within the context of the scripture, it can also mean foolish. All right, you understand that? And then we'll go ahead and explain why. The context of the verse will tell us that the person is perfect, complete, and blameless, because the person is foolish. Tam means that the person is insufficient, allowing to accomplish a desired task on their own. In other words, they can't do it by themselves, like we can't do it by ourselves. Tam means that the person is insufficient or lacking. All right? Tam is insufficient but has dependency. So when Jacob was dwelling in the tent, he was constantly seeking the mind and face of God, because he realized of his own power, he was insufficient. He realized that when he tried to hold tell the difference between the two words. Amen? So it says, let's keep going. Tent is a Hebrew word, ohel, which has a much deeper spiritual meaning than just dwelling in the tent all the time. Ohel is the same Hebrew word for tent of the meeting and tabernacle, which is what God met with or appeared to Moses and the children of Israel. Word study tells us that Jacob spent a good deal of his time in the presence of God. He spent a good deal of his time in the presence of God in order to fulfill God's calling for him. Remember that Jacob couldn't physically keep Esau from having the birthright of the firstborn. Therefore, he needed continuously to inquire of God as to how the birthright of the firstborn would be transferred to him from Esau. Because physically he could not do it. So he knew he needed divine intervention. Amen. He knew that he could do it. So he had to spend time with God saying, how can this be? How is this going to take place? I can't do it on myself. My sufficiency is not of myself, but my sufficiency is of God. Right? So because he depended on God, God made a way. Because Esau was a skilled, cunning hunter. It was impossible that he could go out all that hunting to come back finished. But when God sets stuff in order, right? God sets the stage, amen? We will see that this was an issue that greatly concerned Jacob as we continue our study. Scripture that Isaac loved Esau because he didn't eat his venison, but Rebecca loved Jacob, but it doesn't tell us why she loved Jacob. Right? So, we know Isaac loved Esau because of the venison, but Rebecca simply loved Jacob. Why? Right? You don't know why? Fine. You will miss the message that this verse is trying to convey if you read this verse without using the proper biblical technique for studying scripture. The first thing that stands out is that the scripture states that Isaac loved Esau because he didn't eat his venison. It appears that the way to eat Isaac's heart, according to the Bible, was through his stomach. But the verse simply says that Rebecca loved Jacob but doesn't give a reason why. Doesn't give a reason why. It's important for us to understand that the reason has already been previously given. That's why he doesn't tell us why, because the reason is already given where? In the 23rd verse, all right? It says, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in thy womb, and two men or people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. This verse tells us that Rebecca loved Jacob because the Lord will someday elevate him to the same spiritual status of his father Isaac. Remember that he is the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rebecca's love was not an emotional one, but a commitment to fulfilling the prophecy that the Lord had given her that Jacob would be stronger and that Esau will someday serve Jacob. We can see that Rebecca had spiritual insight and that the father appeared to be blind to the high purpose that God has in mind for Jacob. And it never tells us that Rebecca ever told Isaac what God told her. You would think she did, but the scripture never tells us that. She said, well, eventually the younger is going to serve the older, because then when she did her little conniving, as they say, right, that it would have seemed as though Isaac would have been more aware of it, but it seemed like he was called on guard too. Because after he blessed Jacob, and Esau came in, he said, Isaac trembled. So obviously Isaac didn't know. But who knew? Rebecca. Right? Because why would he tremble in giving Jacob the blessing if he already knew that God had said Jacob would be greater than Esau? So you have to conclude that she never shared that with him. Amen? I think I'm just going to finish this and we'll stop here. Alright, let's finish this section. because we've got too many more pages to go through, and then hopefully one of our good elders and ministers will finish this up next week, okay? It's so important to understand that the reason has already been previously given. When the reason why is absent from the text, with that being said, we need to refer back to Genesis 25, 23, which we just did. This verse tells us that Rebekah loved Jacob because the Lord will someday elevate him to the same spiritual status as his father. Remember that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rebekah's love was not an emotional one, but a commitment to fulfilling the profound prophecy that the Lord had given her that Jacob would be what? Stronger. And that Esau will someday serve Jacob. We can see that Rebekah had spiritual insight, and that the father appeared to be blind to the higher purpose that God has in mind for Jacob. All this alludes to the outworking of God's plan to use the foolish and weak things of the world to shame those considered to be wise. In 1 Corinthians 1, 25 through 31, we have concluded here. Because of the foolishness of God is what? Why? We just can't figure God out. Right? We can't figure out why God did it, why God had to struggle. Amen. If you go, when you jump up to Genesis 38, you read the story of God, Zerah and Phares. Remember, if you know that, remember when, that's something that's happening anyway, because Judas is messed up in itself. But I can't explain it. He messed up in itself. But remember, the wine comes out and they tie the ribbon of his hand. And then all of a sudden, he snaps his hand back in and they all come out. Right? That's Phares and Zerah. Right? But that's why Phares named the breach. Because even though I think Zerah came out first, I'm not sure, but they tied the scarlet thread over his finger saying, you're number one. And after they tied the finger, he snaps his hand back in and the brother came out. Wait, these things started out, I don't have an answer. I can't tell you that. But you know, the thing is this, that was still in Genesis. How is God so meticulous? They get focused on these details about the past. Right? God is just amazing. Why did he give them those details? God always a past finding out. We don't have all of the answers. Amen. And if we approach the word of God to an intellectual part, then we'll miss it. Alright? Because it doesn't. If you really look at baptism, if you look at baptism intellectually, that's why a lot of people don't get baptized. It don't make sense if you get to go down the water and all your sins are washed away. Intellectually it doesn't make sense, but spiritually it does because God said it. Right? So we have to accept what God says even when we don't understand. And even Paul said there are some things we don't understand now, but we will understand them better by and by. Right? There's a whole lot in the Bible we don't understand, but God doesn't ask us to understand, he tells us to believe. Right? So as long as we believe, then God has blessings. Amen. So we'll stop here, and hopefully someone else can finish up next week the last few verses of this. Right? So it's so important, like I say once again, don't read God's word like a novel. Don't read it like it's just a story. But read God's word for the depth of what he's trying to take you. Right? Because when you get deep into the word of God, things are past finding out, as the scripture says. And I don't even have all the answers. Some of the things that God doesn't make sense. Right? But many times God asks us to do things that don't make sense, not just to make us look crazy, but to see if we trust him. So if you trust God, you will obey him. If you don't trust God, you will disobey him. If you trust God, you say, Lord, I don't understand. There's a whole lot I don't understand, but I trust God. And then, it's like, I remember years ago, when I first got saved, there's a whole lot of stuff they were teaching. I'm like, I just don't get this stuff. I remember Matt used to be these whole lot of stuff. I said, I just don't get this stuff. And really, it didn't make sense to me, because I'm coming out of RPI, and we didn't look at stuff abstractly. You know, we look at stuff like on the outside. When we did stuff, if A equals B, then if A equals C and B equals C, then A equals B. You know, right? So I'm coming to God with the near fear in mind, and God said, we throw that mind away because that mind won't work. So I can get it, honestly. A lot of Sunday teachers, I was like, this stuff doesn't make sense. Honestly, it didn't make sense. So they said, you have to believe, and then God will show you later. Right? Honestly, you have to believe, and God will show you later. Because this, I was like, it doesn't make sense when you're trying to teach about God, right, Elijah? You know what I'm saying? So you're trying to teach about God in a faith venture. I haven't been living by faith. I didn't go to school of faith. I went to school to learn education. So now they're telling me, throw my education out the window and walk by faith. All my life, I didn't walk by faith. I walk by sight. So now I'm at a crossroad. They say, you can't continue to walk by sight. You can't understand everything in God. You have to believe. I'm like, okay, I just believe. You know, and it's so true about, you know, I didn't get it right away. But I was thinking, I might even go home for the summer. I was at home by summer, I was reading the Bible, and all of a sudden the light came on. I was like, wow. Like, right? You know, so sometimes that's not God's word. You know, like I told you, I used to read my Bible lectures when I was 9 years old. And the one question, I'm saying, the one thing that always stumped me, I'm almost finished, stumped me is like, they said, except a man lose his life, he cannot gain his life. I can't read that. Back then, they just killed Martin Luther King, right? I was like, man, I mean, I got to die like Martin Luther King. Go ahead. That's the way I equated it. Right? Except a man lose his life, he cannot gain his life. Like, wow. I don't know if God can master a king like that. They go, yeah, but that's what it's trying to be. So one day I was sitting down reading the Bible and just studying, and it hit me. That ain't what it means to lose your life like that. It means that you have to give your life, right? You have to surrender your life to God. When you surrender your life to God, then you gain your life. So all of us have come from different walks of life. We've had different experiences, right? So you can't have a clear-cut path to God. The only clear-cut path that all of us have to God is faith to believe. And then if you have faith to believe, then God will reveal it to you later by and by. Amen? So when it comes to the Word of God and Scripture, don't try to do it based on your own intellect, because you will miss it every time. Amen. Honestly, it doesn't make sense. When you talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is evidenced by speaking in tongues. And a lot of people, I heard this debate, they say, how do you know speak in the language you learn? Does that make sense? You don't speak in the language that you learn? Seriously. Does that make sense? How you gonna speak in something that you don't learn? Right, so they say, well, just keep calling Jesus. I'm calling Jesus and hallelujah and thank you and all the rest of it. How about speaking tongues? Seriously, does that make sense? But if you believe it, when God sees you put forth the effort, God will turn that into a language by faith. Right, so that's what, when it comes to walking with God, and that's how so many saints miss their blessings, because they're trying to see and understand what God is doing instead of believing. Right? If you believe, then you walk. And as you walk, God will open up your understanding. And that's why Paul said, enlighten me, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Well, why don't you understand how to be enlightened? Because there's a whole lot of stuff in the dark that you just don't know. So the only way you get enlightened is to God. Amen. Do we have any other questions, any other comments? Amen. Does anyone need a prayer? Anyone that's more confused now than when it came in? Amen. God's word is very plain, it's very simple. If we just believe it and accept it. Like I said, many things you don't understand right away, but eventually God will reveal it to you. Alright? You want prayer? Okay. Alright, let's just Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the truth. Lord, we thank you that you continue to open up the eyes of our understanding. And Lord, continue to lead us in the plain and the narrow path. Oh Lord, where there's confusion, we ask you to give us clarity of mind. Lord, where there's doubt, we ask you to replace that with faith. And Lord, if you prepare to leave this place with now thy presence, we ask you to go with us. And when I say unto one, I say unto all, watch and pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to bless Mother Barbara and her family, the homeborn service tomorrow for our brother. But Lord, we just ask you to give him a spirit of unity, that you bless, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You're